Reflames, Brad Treliving. Sir, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Ryan?
Not bad. I was in Toronto over the weekend and was disappointed. I was not near a microphone Friday when the news broke of this Lucic trade. I think that means I like my job, that I wanted to be working rather than on vacation on a Friday afternoon, right?
Well, that's shocking. That's like 2 days in a row that you're working. So that's
not bad around here. Yeah.
Good sign around.
Have you seen Pat, by the way? We haven't seen Pat. We haven't heard from him. We don't know if he's alive. Like, have you seen Pat anywhere?
No, I'd like to sign up for one of these 6 month a year gigs you guys got going. They sound like they're pretty good.
Yeah, well, I don't want to scare you, but there might be a pay cut if you're getting into our business. Tell us how long you've been working on the deal that we saw Friday. James Neal, now an Edmonton Oiler, 1 year into that 5 year pact that he was signed to July 2nd last summer, and Milan Lucic with 4 years remaining on his deal, now a Calgary Flame.
How long have we been working on it? Kenny and I probably had some discussions, Ken Holland in Edmonton, probably dating back to probably before the draft. We might have even had some conversations going back to the combine. And, you know, really over the course of time. So what's that, a month, 6 weeks? For us, really the genesis was, unfortunately, it didn't work here with James. And I don't put this on the back of the player solely at all. At the end of the day, the person that signed James is myself, and I take responsibility for it. And whether that be, whether we didn't put him in the right position to succeed, I think if you talk to James, it certainly didn't go exactly how he would have wanted it to or how we wanted it to. So, you get through a season like that and you take a step back and evaluate what's the best course for your team going forward. And, there's been obviously a long history of players that maybe have a down year, but you have to evaluate if you think that there's a different option or if the player and the team would be better served with a change. So we sort of started with that backdrop. And like I said, probably 5-6 weeks worth of discussions on again, off again, probably picked up more here in the last week to 10 days. And then we concluded it on Friday.
Yeah. Obviously there was a bonus that was paid out July 1, and why pay the bonus if you don't have to, if you can wait on the deal? That seems like good business. I would get that. What sort of conversations do you have with Ken Holland at the beginning? Does Ken want to chat with James Neal and see the whites of his eyes? Do you want to talk with Milan and his camp, who obviously have a no move? And so did you grant each other the opportunity to do that, or is that something that maybe comes much later down the road?
Yeah, initially, really, as I said, I think the starting point for Ken's probably the same thing in our situation. Ken's new to Edmonton, wanted to make some change in terms of their group. And we discussed this. It's one where both players are probably in need of a change. As I said about James, it's no different from Milan. He'd be the first to tell you that it hasn't been perfect the last couple of years for him there. So, we talked a little bit in general terms of the idea. And then, there's lots of layers to it, quite frankly, Ryan, when you get into the contract and the structures, the structures of the contracts are different. As far as talking with the players, there was no permission granted nor needed. In James's case, there was no trade restrictions as part of his agreement. Milan had a no move as part of his contract. And so at that particular time when we got closer to the finish line, if you will. Obviously, the players got to agree to it. So Ken had given us permission. Just trying to think, probably Tuesday, was it? Maybe Tuesday, Wednesday to talk with Milan. I had a long talk with him. Bill Peters and Jeff Ward spoke with him. Obviously, Jeff's our associate coach, has got a history with him. They both worked together in Boston, won a Stanley Cup together, and Jeff coached him for a number of years and had a strong relationship with him. So we had those discussions probably going Tuesday, Wednesday, at that particular time, Milan informed him and his agent, or informed us through his agent and through and to Kenny that, you know, he would indeed waive. And Ken and I sort of finished off the deal, and we got to where we are today.
Get us up to speed on the nuances of that no movement clause. He waives it to come here, but does it remain in place for trade? And secondly, how does it affect the expansion draft in the spring of 2021? Should that be a contract that's still yours at that juncture?
Well, I'm not going to get into the specifics relative to his, you know, his contractual situation and trade restrictions, other than to say, obviously, we're quite aware of what's going on in a couple of years with regards to expansion. And, you know, some of the nuances of the contract are obviously things that we spend a lot of time on. And again, I would tell you this, Ryan, we feel comfortable. We feel comfortable knowing that expansion is on the horizon, knowing when those dates are. We feel comfortable that, you know, that we were wanting to go through with this transaction. So outside of that, I'm probably not going to comment a whole bunch on it, other than knowing what's in front of us and knowing that our rules that govern expansion as it relates to Seattle are going to be the same rules that govern the expansion of Las Vegas. So we feel comfortable in terms of how Milan's contract will be you know, taken into account as far as that process.
I would suggest, given that the deal we saw was made, that that clearly Ken Holland likes the fit of James Neal with his group, and you like the fit of Milan Lucic with your group better than the two options you had prior. Otherwise, the deal probably wouldn't have been made. What about Milan Lucic leads you to believe he could be a better fit than James Neal was last year with this group?
Well, I think that's the key, is just, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the job is to make decisions that you think are going to benefit your team. And, you know, James has been a real good player in this league, a productive player in this league for a long time. It didn't fit. It didn't work. It didn't fit for us this year. And like I said, I'm not throwing a rock at anybody. We all take responsibility, starting with myself. So then you take a step back and say, okay, you know, from a just a team building aspect and things that we want to try to accomplish with our team, where do we think the fit is going to be best? And you know, as far as Kenny, he was looking for forwards that maybe can play in a certain role. We were looking for a little different element in our team. You know, certainly it hasn't been perfect the last couple of years with Milan, but we tried to do a deep dive in here and get as much information as we possibly can. You know, knowing you know, both players are at the stage of their careers that they are, to expect that you're going to get a player that was what they were at 24 and 25 years old, that's probably, you know, that's probably not wise thinking. But we think Milan, after talking to him, after doing all of our research, can come in and provide an element for us. And to me, that's all part of team building. You know, we think he's going to be rejuvenated. I think both players, it's sort of a clean slate and a fresh start. And where we see him slotting in, and those things will all get taken care of during training camp. But when as you go through this process, you talk to all your staff, you talk to your management group, you talk, Bill and I had lots of discussions about, you know, where we could possibly see Milan and where we thought his impact on our team and the residual effect that he'd have throughout our lineup. We felt it was going to be a positive one. So you do the work, you do the research, you do a lot of contemplation, and ultimately we felt this is a move that we think helps our team, and that's ultimately why we made the deal.
I know you guys do your dive, and each organization has its own, you know, I guess, what would you call it, just, I guess, specific and your own stats and or audit. Your process wouldn't be the same as any others. You'd have your own things that you look at, maybe some home-cooked analytics. Your scouting eyeballs are different than other scouts' eyeballs for other organizations. But one of the things that I was surprised by while there isn't a ton of offense provided by Milan Lucic, he was actually a pretty decent driver of possession and a guy that he wasn't underwater when he was out there, albeit not providing a ton of offense. He was actually defensively a lot better than I thought he'd be.
Yeah, and there's certainly things, I mean, as you know, there's a lot of data that we look at. And, you know, I know on the surface, you know, like I said, it hasn't been perfect for Milan there. And obviously the contract that he signed, and any time you go into any market, specifically when you get into a Canadian market and you're paid a good dollar, there's going to be scrutiny. And, you know, I think there was lots of pressure and expectations for Milan there. And I think, you know, initially it went really well for him. And that team, you know, came within a goal and a game of going to the conference final a couple years ago. And Milan was a big part of that. But we dug into a lot of the things that we measure. And, you know, you get below the surface stuff. I think there's certainly some things that Milan can add to our team. And he's, you know, beyond just being a big body, he's a big presence. You know, we believe there's still some game there. And like I said, never underestimate the, you know, the mindset of somebody that needs a change. And trying to get a fresh start here, it allows him to reset. But as you said, there's a lot of things that we studied as well that show that, you know, again, depending on the usage and where you're going to put him, we feel there's some game left there. We think he gives us an element that we didn't have previously. And to compare James and Milan on face value of where they're going to sit and really what's going to be asked them, it's going to be different roles and different responsibilities in both organizations. So in like all deals, you hope it works for everybody. You hope that, you know, everybody walks away from this and both players have success in their new locations. Obviously we're most concerned with Calgary here. And we think Milan's going to come and be a good addition here. He's going to give us some things that we didn't have prior to him arriving. And certainly he's looking to reboot it. You know, it's like any other player. He wants to be better than what he was and how it went for him previously. I know he's working hard to accomplish that. And so getting him into our setting, getting him, you know, with a fresh outlook, we're hopeful that he can come in and have a positive impact.
One of the areas that every club values, but an area that fans don't have access to, is a player's role in the locker room. How do you quantify that, and what can you get from Milan in that department? And then I suppose, to get a little deeper, can a guy be a really important part of a locker room if they aren't a significant piece on the ice? And I'm not suggesting that's the absolute outcome, but is it harder for a guy in a smaller role to have a large voice in a room?
I think it's a really good question, Ryan. And sometimes you got to be careful of trying to import, import leadership or import culture. I think those are difficult things to do. You know, if you really go back historically in his career, and it's one of the things that we've talked a lot about is, Milan, we feel, can be a real good support member of a leadership group. You know, this is a player who's had success throughout his career. He's, you know, go back to junior, he's won a championship. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's been to another final. So he's been through those things that you need to go through and has had those experiences, he's been at the top of the mountain and has experienced, you know, like I said, the last couple of years, the other side of the coin. So, you know, having those experiences, we always talk about getting more experience and how does a player get experience. You know, our team in general went through an experience in the playoffs last year, and as difficult and as hard and as sour as you are when you go through it, you don't get those experiences without going through them, and you build up a little scar tissue going through those. Well, Milan's been through those. So I think, you know, part of this equation, when you look, you know, both that on the ice and off the ice, I think that he can provide value there. We're not certainly asking him to come in and be the leader of our group and, you know, that he has to, you know, take everything on his back. We think we have great leadership, starting with Mark Giordano, excellent leadership. But I think he's somebody that can stand shoulder to shoulder with Gio and support our captain and support our leadership group. And, and lend his experiences that he's been through not only to our team but to, you know, other young individuals on our team. So it certainly played a part. I don't, you know, when you make an acquisition, you look at all sorts of elements, and you're ultimately trying to, you know, the team building piece and the process of building a team isn't just as easy as just going and getting, you know, every you got to have different roles and people doing different things in order to have a success as a team. And I think that Milan will have a good role on our team. And part of that role and part of that responsibility will be to work alongside our current leadership group and you know, continue to push this thing forward. And he brings, you know, like I said, he brings experience of having probably experienced all you can experience from a high and a low perspective in this game. And I think those are important elements.
I'm always fascinated in the tight wire that you have to walk as a general manager. The game is not played the same way nor officiated the same way in the regular season. And then when you get into best of sevens, which of course is the playoffs, can you speak to the value of intimidation or grit or toughness and how that plays into this acquisition, if it does at all, and whether you think Milan could be a guy that helps maybe even more in the spring than over the course of 82 games?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's our game has evolved. You know, our game has evolved and we see it, and I think it continues to, you know, the speed, the skill, the reliance on offense and probably not the right word, not the reliance on offense, but the importance that offense is in our game today. And, you know, we've talked about it at length. You go back a number of years ago and how the rules have changed. So it's not lost on us, and I think our team is built for today's game. When you get into areas of when you start talking about toughness and you start talking about grit, you know, it's not just, you know, I think it gets lost on some people. We're not just talking about the hand-to-hand. It's not fighting. You know, those things happen. It's rare that those things happen now. But to me, it's a mindset. You know, to me, grit and mental toughness and those are important ingredients today. And to me, I think when you have people that can help change a mindset and improve a mindset, maybe harden a mindset that makes, you know, people on your side feel better, feel more confident, and give the opponent some pause. So, you know, the idea that it's just, okay, we're getting a nuclear weapon here, to me, it's deeper than that. It really, I think a big part of our game today and all walks of life is mental. And when you feel good about yourself, when you feel confident, when you feel, when you have a grit mindset and you feel confident going into things that are a little bit harder, and when you provide maybe an element of doubt into an opponent, I think those are important ingredients. And Milan, for all that he is or for all that he isn't, is still a very imposing player in today's game. He does, you know, I sometimes struggle with things that you can't measure or you can't come in and calculate. But having presence is still something that I think, although difficult to measure, it's real. And there is that element of our game that still exists in what is still a physical game. And to your point, Ryan, we see that element more in the springtime than sometimes you see on a Tuesday evening in January. We know there's risk associated with any deal that you make, but in this particular case, we're hopeful, we're confident that Milan can come in and give us an ingredient. And I think as you look back at his time, in important times, Milan over the course of his career has risen to those challenges when it's important and when it's meaningful. And certainly I think it speaks to your statement that we're certainly hopeful that we can get to the playoffs this year and hopeful that, you know, if and when we get there, that he can play a good role for us.
Last one for you. We all gathered at the Saddle Dome after a disappointing end to the postseason for your club last year, a victory in game one and then four straight losses to a surprising and upstart Colorado club. Do you feel like the deal you've made today addressed some of the issues in that series that may have resulted in a five-game departure, which clearly was not what you were expecting nor anyone else?
I don't know if we're micro-focused on just, you know, the five-game series against Colorado. You know, part of what you do every summer is, or every off-season is try to address, you know, make your team better and address areas that you think need addressing. So, in all candor, I don't think today's deal or Friday's deal, I don't know if it changes. Certainly, I don't think it changes what was the outcome on in our series against Colorado. I think we're trying to address areas that we think need to be addressed with our team. We still have a long time until we play in October. As we said at the conclusion of the year, we've got number one on our docket is getting our internal business done. We continue to grind away at that. But to me, to say that, you know, we're obviously disappointed in our playoff. This isn't a reaction necessarily to just, okay, we had those five games. You know, we think Milan's going to come in here and solve all those issues. No, that would be an incorrect statement. We think that today's deal or Friday's deal addressed two issues. You know, a situation that wasn't working out with a player that was here and a player coming in that needs a fresh start that we think if we can get him rebooted and in a good frame of mind, in a good spot, that we think he can help us. So it continues the process of trying to tweak our team and find ways that we can be better in.
Appreciate your time tonight. I know you'll be on with Boomer and the boys tomorrow, so get that Tkachuk deal wrapped up and have it for Boom, would you?
Yeah. Is he back? Is it Boom or Boom replacements tomorrow?
No, I think you got the real Boom. I think he had the three-week recharge, which I know you'd love to have, right? Just a little pay cut.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Talk later. Thanks,
man. All right, Ryan. Good talking to you.
Okay.